Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
All right, in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll give you everything we got concerning yesterday's election results, both in LA County, Southern California, the nation. It's coming up in the big 5 o'clock hour. In 15 minutes, there is another keyword which you will obtain, and you'll follow what John reads for the instructions to enter our contest to win possible $1,000 in our inflation cash bonus money. It's coming up 15 minutes on KFI. All right, so we have this strange story out of Riverside County, which we're going to explore with reporter Corbin Carson. The DA out there has announced that, due to a judge shortage, they got to dismiss 500 criminal court cases. We need to dig into this and find out why and what kind of cases they are. So let's bring Corbin on and talk about it.
Corbin, how are you?
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, so strange. You really took the words right out of my mouth. I started reporting on this a couple weeks ago. It was just dozens of cases back then. But now they're saying, as you said, more than 500 criminal cases. 50 of those are felony cases. I spoke with Riverside County Chief Assistant DA John Aki. Here's some of those cases that were dismissed just in the last week.
We have the case of People versus Flores, which was an attempted murder, assault with a firearm, robbery, and assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer. That case was just dismissed. See attempt robberies that have been dismissed this past week, the carjacking, several domestic violence cases. We had one where a senior pastor who committed sexual batteries as a misdemeanor at the New Beginnings Community Church, which we can never refile now. And that was a registerable offense.
And he goes on to include robberies, shootings into inhabited dwellings, hate crimes, arson, DUIs. And here's what the judges say. The Riverside County Superior Court presiding judge John Monteroso says the dismissals are due to a chronic shortage of judges. The judge says the courts have 90 available judicial officer positions, and some of them are even vacant. Plus, Monteroso cited a study that indicated Riverside County should have 115 judicial officers to deal with its population size. So they're short about 25 officers.
What do you mean officers? Are you talking judges?
Judicial officers, judges. They're short about 25 judges.
Aren't these guys elected? How are they? How do you get on the Riverside County Superior Court?
They're saying that they only have the they're only allotted 90 available positions. And that and it's interesting because I spoke to DA Mike Hestron about this also. He said this is a ruse of sorts to try to get people up in the legislature to allow them to have more judges in their capacity.
You mean there's it appears to me that the courts are using this to get the attention of decision makers in Sacramento, the governor and the legislature to highlight the lack of judicial resources that we have here in Riverside County. And while I agree we have had historically lack of judicial resources, that's not what's causing the current backlog and dismissals. It's obviously COVID and the fact that the courts were shut down for 2 years. If the situation is dire enough that we need to dismiss violent felonies, then perhaps we need to consider doing night court, weekend court, longer hours. If it's an emergency, we should be treating it as an emergency, not dismissing cases and then everybody goes home at four.
They shut down the courts for 2 years? I've seen
that was a COVID. By shutdowns they're meaning they're putting off trials that need to have in-person juries. There was all courts were going through this, but the prosecutors are saying, and they're going through this backlog of cases as well. In Riverside County, I think it's close to 3,000 cases that are on backlog, and these have time limits. That mean people have their time when they're due in court. They're allowed to have their day in court on a certain time frame.
Right.
And one of the things that are really go ahead.
No, I think this is the case he cited. A defendant who had, by himself, been charged with attempted murder, assault with a gun, robbery, assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer, and resisting a peace officer. They couldn't find room for that guy to be tried?
Yeah, they're saying that they just don't have, and a lot of these cases are also being refiled, but sometimes the rules only allow them to refile them one or two times, depending on the case.
But I mean, are they triaging these? I mean, are they looking at the guys who committed the worst crimes and saying, all right, we have to try this crowd here?
Not according to the DA's office. They're saying that this is just, you know, most of these are, they're saying most of these are like domestic violence cases and DUIs, and then you had the 50 felonies, but they think that the more violent felonies, the worse is yet to come, that this is actually going to get even worse. And here are some of the consequences. I just want to give you some of this kind of the fallout that's happening to these victims.
They're walking out of court smiling and laughing. We've seen it. It kind of makes us sick to our stomach to watch these domestic violence defendants walk out laughing. And how does that make the victims feel at this point in time? They've risked everything to try and go through the court process only to see it fail them. Who can blame them when the defendant is let out and back into their home again simply to abuse them again?
And that was Aki. And he said, plus the defense lawyers are lying and saying they're ready for trial because they know the court has no judge available, which will mean it will also have the chance of getting dismissed.
Right, but
then on top of that, we got defendants that don't want to take a plea deal.
How is it we have a judge shortage? Is it just not enough judges, or why can't they fill these slots and get more judges in the courts?
Well, again, the two things. Number one is that they only have the allotted amount that they're allowed to have. And the second thing is that this has been going on for decades. This is a problem that's been going on for some time.
All right, so is it the state legislature that does the allotments? Like, who decides?
Yeah.
Oh, so the state legislature wants to dump all the prisoners out of jail anyway.
I'm reading this. Riverside County presiding judge here, John Monterosso. Did you talk to him? He said the area, Riverside has 3.7 judicial officers per 100,000 residents. The statewide average is 11.4 per 100,000.
Right.
That is a big difference.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is there any reason Riverside's been historically screwed on the judges? I don't understand why.
Yeah, do we know what this is?
If the rest of the state's getting 11 and Riverside's getting 3 per 100,000, why?
Let me explain the nuance of what the Riverside County DA is saying. They're saying that this is going on. This is a problem that is happening statewide. And then also statewide, you have all these counties that are struggling under this backlog of cases from the pandemic. The Riverside County DA's office is saying the courts just in Riverside County are using this as an opportunity, using that backlog in the pandemic cases as an opportunity to shed light on the lack of judicial resources. But at the same time, they're affecting public safety. At least that's what the Riverside County DA says.
Wow, somebody has to take over the system here. There's got to be some kind of leadership where everybody sits down and says, okay, here's how we're going to handle this. And we've got, they can't hire retired judges. They can't import judges from other counties. The weekend and night court idea. It should be an emergency where you do everything humanly possible to try the worst criminals that have charges against them.
Now, the courts did say that they're using civil judges to hear criminal trials. They have some departments that are designated to hear criminal trials. They're assigning newly appointed judges to hear to criminal trial departments, and they're still behind. They're trying to use courtrooms immediately after they become available to assign them to trials, and they're still behind. And then again, on the other side, just one more. I want to play this for you from Aki to talk about some of these cases, because you were asking about a triage, and this seems like another one that should have been allowed to be continued. Whenever it's ready, right?
Well, that's a good example.
Come on, Aki.
That case,
exactly.
Several driving under the influence cases dismissed, including one that caused serious injury to a victim who drove 11 hours from Idaho to make a statement. But the judge, despite hearing the pleas of the victim in that case, dismissed the case anyway. And another, which is a assault with a deadly weapon, which was a machete, where this guy took a machete to his victims. And that case was dismissed for a second time. So that can't be refiled. And that's a case that we've put up on appeal.
And then remember that I said that the Riverside County DA's office says this more than 500 cases that have been dismissed now in the last couple of weeks, that more is to come. They think this will continue.
All right. Disaster.
Corbin, this is incredible. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Corbin Carson, KFI News. This, I think you hit it. If this is coming out of Sacramento, this is another ploy to send nobody to prison or jail. Let's just reduce the number of judges so the cases are dismissed.
This is like defund the police. They defunded the court system.
Defund the judges, right.
Hadn't even thought of that.
That's a great angle to come in at. Why Riverside County, though? 3.7 judicial officers per 100,000 residents. The statewide average is 11.4.
Well, that is
like four times fewer. Why did they do this to Riverside? Were they coming up with too many prosecutions? Is that what they did?
I don't know.
I remember years ago they told the San Bernardino County DA, remember Jerry Brown?
Yeah.
Famously called him up and said, stop sending us prisoners. Stop it. Oh, we don't want any more of your prisoners coming out of your county.
That is real. The whole system has just collapsed. And they shouldn't have closed the courts for two freaking years for COVID. That was unnecessary.
They didn't even do an online Zoom court, or
I've seen Zoom court. I mean, I see it on TV all the time. They show everybody's on a screen. What? This is crazy. I mean, he was talking about the juries though have to be there in person. Why do they have to be there in person?
I guess because they can watch the reactions. They can really study the defendant and the case.
Look at the suit that the gang member's wearing.
I don't know. Be led to
believe that he's a peaceful person.
All right. Coming up next. This is frustrating. You have a shot at $1,000. That's right. We got a keyword for you and instructions to follow as to how to win the money. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. From the world of LA City Council corruption, something fascinating is going on right now. We have a trial that's taking place over some of the developer scandal that was large real estate development companies bribing city officials in order to get their projects done. But this trial involves a company. The man who owns the company is a fugitive, probably somewhere in China. So the defendant is just a table with attorneys representing a company. The prosecution, of course, is the federal government. And at issue here is the man who will be on trial in February, ex-Los Angeles City Councilman Jose Huizar. And what's also fascinating about this is his own family is going on the stand and telling about how they helped launder money for all the bribes that Huizar took from this company. This company and its top executive, a man by the name of Wang, apparently bribed Huizar with more than $1.5 million in cash, trips on private jets, casino chips, and hookers in exchange for him supporting the LA Grand Hotel project.
There always seems to be hookers involved.
Hookers are valuable to use.
The cash, as a bargaining chip. The jets, the casino chips, not enough. $1.5 million worth, not enough.
You're going to Vegas, there has to be hookers.
You got to throw in some hookers.
So there are three separate trials that are coming out of this 34-count indictment against Huizar and his associates, alleging corruption. But let's talk for a moment about these family members of Huizar who are testifying about laundering the bribes. I just find this fascinating. Huizar's brother, Salvador. He pled guilty to lying to FBI agents about receiving envelopes of cash from his brother. He testified that Huizar gave him cash that he deposited into his bank account in exchange for checks written out to Huizar from his own account.
There you go. That's money laundering.
It reached as high as $10,000 one time in August of 2014. The councilman gave his brother a bunch of bundled $100 bills, and his brother wrote him a check for the total.
That's how you launder the money.
And guess what? The brother is a longtime L.A. County employee. Doesn't say what he does for a living.
Well, nothing by definition.
And like true mob fashion, the brother testified, when I asked him, what's this about? The response was, better for you not to know. I love that one.
Now, would you do that? If one of your brothers gave you
bundles of $100 bills and said, write me a check for this?
Write me a check and did it repeatedly. Would you actually accept it's better for you not to know?
Better for you not to know, buddy. You could get rubbed out. I don't want you involved in this.
Right. He didn't know.
That's why the brother was charged with lying, because I guess he was asked about this and he knew it was shaky. And well, now the other person testifying is Jose Huizar's estranged wife, Rochelle Rios. This is even more fascinating.
Boy, she chews badly.
She apparently was crying a bit. And she was worried that her husband was involved in an extramarital affair. And then in August of 2013, he got sued by a former aide alleging sex harassment. And the woman was asking for $600,000 to more than $1 million to settle the case. So they had this meeting. This would be a deputy mayor, Raymond Chan, Jose Huizar, Huizar's wife.
Oh, one of Garcetti's deputy mayors, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he's also been, And this billionaire Wang, who they called Chairman Wang. This is the guy that's the fugitive. Mm-hmm. That's not.
Yeah.
So
Wang,
he wanted to know how he could help resolve this lawsuit. What can I do here, right?
How can I fix this? How can I make
words,
you all happy?
I can pay her off for you, which is what essentially happened. And she said they asked me, they wanted to know if I was going to stay in the marriage. Would I stand with Jose? Well, I felt humiliated, angry, and devastated, but I agreed to stay. I think she ran for office, too, or tried to, if I remember correctly.
I think so. Well, I mean, she was benefiting from the $1.5 million in cash.
Yeah.
But maybe she didn't have access.
What about the hookers?
I don't think she had access to the prostitutes. That was for Jose.
They resolve the suit, and he gets reelected.
Of course.
And then he starts traveling to Vegas and all over the world on his weekend gambling trips. And she said she found a stack of cash of hundreds in their home. She attempted to speak to him, but the conversation turned unpleasant. Probably told her to bleep off or something. She found a wad of $100 bills about an inch thick, hidden in a traveler's belt in a pocket of one of his suits. Her husband also gave her cash in amounts of $200 to $1,000 to deposit in her bank account. See, again, trying to launder the money somehow. And some of the bank records were presented to the jury. The couple's been married for 23 years. They got 4 kids, ages 12 to 20.
Wow.
This is a horrible way to go.
What a monster.
He has no chance. I don't know what he thinks he's doing going on trial next February, because his own family members are up there talking about laundering money for him.
When you got your wife and your brother.
Yeah. They've turned on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a lot of money. This is a big bribe, $1.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. He faces quite a few years in prison.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And the feds don't kid around. They'll get him. All right. When we come back, we got more to talk about. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. The Moist Line will be back day after tomorrow, so there's still room for your messages. You can use the iHeartRadio app. It's easy to do. There's a microphone icon that you use to leave a message for the Moist Line. You can call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll talk all about the election results and what we know right now, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, both the city of L.A., the county, the state, and the national scene. Old Joe held a 54-minute press conference, coming out acting like he's king of the world. And supposedly yesterday the White House was completely quiet, but because things didn't crash as badly as they thought they were going to crash, this is how you claim victory. We'll get into all of this.
This is stupid. The Republicans win the House, and his agenda's dead for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
I hate this blatant BS. It's like, no, the Democrats lost the House. Doesn't matter by how much.
They approve of our economic policies, they're saying today. The voters approve.
Well, that's it for his economic policies, because he's not getting anything else crazy through.
Not likely.
Gridlock. Shut
down. The Senate is still up for grabs and may end up 50-50 again anyway. We'll talk about all this a little later on in the show. We come back around to something we talked about a lot years ago on the John and Ken show, public employee pensions. Now, there's going to come a day, it may not be as bad this year, but the market's not performing as well as they've done in recent years here in 2022. This means that the state, which relies so much on wealthy people's income taxes, probably will not see the kind of surpluses they've seen the past couple of years, and they will not be getting all that COVID relief money made up by Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And local governments are already hurting, because it's not just state employees that get us ramped up in these pension problems. As we've said many times on this show, back in 1999, when Gray Davis was governor and they redid the pensions statewide, a lot of counties and city governments and their employees there copied. So pensions got really robust for a lot of public employee workers.
Robust.
Robust is a good word for it.
Overstuffed.
So now we bring you this chapter. Apparently 1,700 CalPERS pensions are so large, they exceed an IRS limit. The IRS sets an annual cap. This year, it's $245,000. Above that, public pension payments must be treated as wages. That means they're subject to the same withholdings and deductions as if the person was still employed. That's the rules. Apparently, these extra-large pensions are growing more numerous in California. This is resulting in added costs for cities and counties who have to pay them. There's even a picture, which is great, of the Sacramento mayor, Daryl Steinberg, who used to be the leader of the state Senate. It was a longtime Sacramento state hack politician.
And he was
now
there.
Now he's the mayor of Sacramento.
He was there back then in the legislature when
oh,
these
sure
pensions
was.
Were
oh, he was there a
being
long time.
Voted for.
And he says, even if we get Measure U passed, they were passing some tax, the money will probably be eaten up by skyrocketing pension costs. Yeah.
Oh, really? So now they're passing what, tax increases in order to pay the excessive pensions?
Well, I think it's just general revenue money. But we've seen this. There are many towns and cities that keep pushing sales tax increases on the voters, trying to tell them, we need this so that we can continue to have public safety programs, fire and police. But really what it was is to try to feed the pension machine.
No, Measure U was a sales tax increase.
Yeah, same thing.
Right. So they raised taxes, and it's all going to go to government employee pensions. Not just any pensions, but all the overstuffed, excessive pensions.
And they don't tell you that, though. When they put it on the ballot, they say, oh, my God, if we don't get this tax increase, we'll have to cut police and fire. You won't be safe. You better vote for it. But you're right.
They passed that in 2018. And now most of the new money from this sales tax is going to be eaten up by the pensions. Oh, see, I knew this was going to happen. We talked about this. When the pensions get so excessive, they'll run short of money, and then they'll start raising taxes. And I wonder, the thing is, they'll just raise taxes and claim, oh, no, this is going to go for roads, or this is going to go for schools.
They do.
They
use the usual list of excuses.
Right, and then they steal the money and give it to the lazy, deadwood, elderly.
Because they know if they put Measure U on the ballot and tell you this is to help us pay off the pensions, you'll vote no. You'll say no. You shouldn't have given those pensions.
Here, listen to this. At the time, Steinberg and the Sacramento Council said Measure U money could be used to bolster an inclusive economy, grow jobs, and provide housing that is affordable to all. So that's how they were selling the taxes. Oh, we're going to build affordable housing. Get the homeless out of the riverbed? Oh, we're going to have an inclusive. What the hell is an inclusive economy? What does that mean? God, that word makes me crazy. Grow jobs. How do you grow jobs? What, do they have a job farm? They plant job seeds? How does a government grow jobs? What they did is they ripped everybody off for a half-cent sales tax and gave it away to the loser government employees. Oh, that's so criminal.
Apparently, in 2013, they did pass the Public Employees Pension Reform Act so that they have capped the pensions at the federal limit. But everybody who started work before January 1st, 2013 remains eligible for the generous benefits that they were promised. And according to this story in the Sacramento Bee, there's been a 40% increase in retirees receiving pensions above the IRS limit than there were 4 years ago. Because that's what's happening. Boy, they grow and grow.
The public, what a bunch of suckers.
We've said this on the show for years. Nobody in the real world gets pensions. People have 401ks. They have savings accounts.
Tell me why people believe politicians when they sell these taxes. Like if somebody came up to you and said, here, would you give me, you know, $200 and I promise a more inclusive economy? What would you say to them on the street? You'd call the police, probably.
It's a good buzzword, inclusive.
An inclusive economy.
What does that mean?
But that's what they did. I bet you that was in the ads and in the speeches. We're going to have a more inclusive economy. Just pony up. And you see these pensions. I mean, sometimes pensions are $500,000 a year.
They are, right. Laura, like I said, the IRS cap is $245,000, and there's 1,700 CalPERS people getting, and we've seen that. We've seen some of these city managers. The worst of it is usually the local manager guys, city managers and guys like that who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Remember that guy in Vernon that got a pile of money?
Yeah.
Vernon government's like 10 people.
10 people.
And he gave himself like 5 different jobs, so he collected all these pensions.
No, it's 10 people and 10,000 factories.
Yes, exactly right. He collected all that extra money. All right, coming up after 5 o'clock, they'll do a complete rundown on all the campaign results, the elections. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. All right, coming up after 5 o'clock, we'll run down all the election results, both locally and nationally and statewide here on the John and Ken Show. Well, the Berkeley City Council, they like to be first with things. They voted last week to approve a proposal that would ban you from turning right on red at a red light.
Why?
They could have put up signs at every intersection with a light in the small city informing drivers of the rule. Policies like eliminating right on red are smart and easy ways to begin the process of, there's your word, deprioritizing car use in Berkeley and placing lives above driver convenience. See, it's part of the sickness that gets you addicted to driving. You can make a right. Remember that? That's many years ago, the right on red.
Oh, it's been around for decades.
Legal in all the United States. I think New York City is the only place you couldn't do it. New York City.
I do it even if it says no right on red.
Oh, do you?
Well, you just look around for a cop. If there's no cop, yeah, you do it. Why would you not do it? No reason.
This comes from council members Terry Taplin and Susan Wengraff in their proposal. They want to put up 4 signs at each intersection as part of the ban to comply with state law. Council members passed the proposal as a budget referral, meaning they would still need to approve funding. Funding? Because they have to put up the signs. It cost $135,000 to install the signs at all 135 intersections that have lights in Berkeley.
These really are religious fanatics. These are really cult members.
Yes.
But you know what? Berkeley, wonderful university. But the town itself, you're not
pretty
missing.
Pretty wild, huh?
If you don't go there, you're not missing anything. They have more like zombies per square mile than any place I've ever seen outside of Skid Row.
Homeless people, you mean?
Not just homeless, but active, psychotic, screaming in the streets, half naked. They seem to get the best drugs there, because the vagrants in the streets of Berkeley are really are their own species. They're really aggressive. They really make a lot of noise. I've been there, and they're just like howling and screaming in the night.
In the night?
In the night, yes, at night. There's these small little riots that break out on the streets in the middle of the night.
I would say there's probably a lot of tolerance there for that behavior. That would I would expect that from
it's
Berkeley people.
Terrifying, though. Do they not have a nervous system that registers fear?
Right on, I didn't know this. Right on Red was called the California Rule, but the rule was expanded to other states during the 1970s gas crisis. Oh, I see. So this is a way to save on gas because you have to make a full stop before you turned. You could kind of just cruise up there. And
they always got to
have the government legalized the practice in 1976 is when we first got right on red.
Just keep traffic moving. Just it makes the traffic move faster if the right turn people can get out of the main lane and get on another street.
Apparently in the 1980s, a study showed that allowing right on red caused an increase in pedestrian crashes by 60% and bike crashes went up 100%, according to the two council members.
Bikers and the pedestrians ought to look where they're going. Stay out of the street. It's not meant for you.
Right.
I had an annoying biker in front of me. I was trying to make a right on red. And I went off into the right lane of this boulevard, which was like half a parking space and half a bike lane. But I want to make a right on red. So I commandeered the lane. And there was a biker in front of me. And I just was slowly moving up and moving up. And he's looking around. Finally, moved over. I successfully intimidated him. And he moved over to the lane next to me. And I got to make my right on red. That's a fun game to play. Like, roads are meant for cars. The supremacy of the car. I'm a car supremacist.
Yes, you are a car supremacist.
I am a car supremacist.
You believe that what you have to do takes priority over what anybody else
has
to do.
That's right.
And if you're walking, you can't be important.
That's right. Get back up on the
sidewalk.
If you're
on a bicycle, you're really unimportant.
That's right. Take you and your bright yellow spandex and go to a public park and ride. Get out of my way.
Washington, D.C. plans to ban right on red by 2025. As I mentioned, New York City already
Washington,
made it illegal.
Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
That's another human sewer, though. That's amazing. Because they have huge homeless problems and crime problems. What is it with these towns? They're very consistent. They all have the same beliefs. Is there some sort of Bible that they've published on the progressive belief system? Is there some religious connection towards allowing psychotic drug addicts to run crazy in the street and not allowing right on reds? How do they all have the same ideas?
The council members wrote, Berkeley can join the cities of Washington, New York, in taking a new approach to achieving Vision Zero goals. There it is again. Referring to the global initiative aimed at eliminating traffic deaths.
Why?
Oh, yes. The famous Eric Garcetti believed
right.
in Vision Zero.
Most of the deaths are from drunk pedestrians or drugged out pedestrians or drunk
like
drivers.
3 in the morning, right?
Yeah, 3 in the morning. That's where most of this happens. Very few people get run over on a normal day from a right on red. In fact, I'd like to know the number of bodies. Give me the names of the bodies of people right on red where they weren't drunk.
Well, this is just another weapon they use in the war on cars. That's all it is. Yeah. They use percentages to exaggerate things to make it sound like, oh my God, it went up 60%. Oh, that's awful. And you find out it went up from 10 to 16 or something like that.
I know.
That's how they frame it so they can get your attention that this is indeed a horrible, horrible thing. We have to do something about it right now.
That was Mike Bonin's propaganda method.
Aren't you happy he's gone for sure?
Yeah, he is really gone for sure. What day does the new city council take over? Maybe the first.
I think it's in December.
Is it in December?
Yeah, I don't think it's January.
We gotta have some kind of on air celebration. Because we will be Mike Bonin free. That little troll is going to be sent back into his burrow.
Until he runs for something else. I don't think a guy like that can stay on the sidelines. I don't know what it'll be, but...
I don't know.
I think he'll try to make a comeback. I just believe
that. Just one of the worst people you will ever meet in life. Really one of the most... And I've met him in person. Personally repulsive.
Well, the seat that he occupies in the city council for Council District 11 may go to the person we recommended you voted for. Do you vote for Tracy Park? We'll talk about that. She's expected to come on the show tomorrow. She's up by 10 percentage points over the challenger there, the Bonin acolyte, Erin Darling. We'll talk about all the election results and more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.